Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, we're continuing our reading in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 19. Today's text is 13. Rajovacha. Aho vayam danyatama nripanam mahatamanu ganiya shilaha ragyam kulam brahmana pada shauchar durar visrishtam bata karhya karma rajavacha aho vayang danyataman ripanam mahattamanu grahaniya shilaha ragyang kulang brahmana pada shauchad durad visrishtang bata karhya karma Rajavacha aho vayang danyataman ripanam mahattamanu grahaniya shilaha ragyang kulang brahmana pada shauchad durad visrishtang bata gharhya karma Rajovacha aho vayang danyataman ripanam mahattamanu grahaniya shilaha ragyang kulang brahmana pada shauchad durad visrishtang bata garhya karma Rajavacha. Aho vayang danyataman ripanam. Mahattamanu grahaniya shilaha. Pragyang kulang brahmana pada shauchad. Durad visrishtang bata garhya karma. Hey, Vaishnavis.
Thank you.
Radha Vacha. Ovayam Danyataman Ripanam. Mahatamanu Grahaniya Shilaha. Ragyan Kulang Brahmana Pada Shochan. Durad Visrishtang Vatagai. Okay, synonyms. Raja Uvacha. The fortunate king said. Aho. Ah. Vayam. We. Danya Tamaha. Most thankful. Nripanam. Of all the kings. Mahat Tama. Of the great souls. Anugraniya Shilaha. Trained to get favors. Ragyam. Of the royal. Kulam. Orders. Brahmanapada. Feet of the Brahmanas. Shauchat. Refuse after cleaning. Durat. At a distance. Visrishtam. Always left out. Bhatta. On account of. Garhya. Condemnable. Karma. Activities. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. The fortunate king said, indeed, we are the most grateful of all the kings who are trained to get favors from the great souls. Generally, you, sages, consider royalty as refuse to be rejected and left in a distant place. Please repeat. The fortunate king said, indeed, we are the most grateful of all the kings who are trained to get favors from the great souls. Generally, you, sages, consider royalty as refuse to be rejected and left in a distant place. Srila Prabhupada's purport. According to religious principles, stool, urine, wash water, and so on, must be left at a long distance. Attached bathrooms, urinals, and so on may be very convenient amenities of modern civilization, but they are ordered to be situated at a distance from residential quarters. That very example is cited herein in relation to the kingly order for those who are progressively marching back to Godhead. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that to be in intimate touch with dollars and cents men or the kingly order is worse than suicide for one who desires to go back to Godhead. In other words, the transcendentalists do not generally associate with men who are too enamored by the external beauty of God's creation. By advanced knowledge and spiritual realization, the transcendentalist knows that this beautiful material world is nothing but a shadowy reflection of the reality, the kingdom of God. They are not, therefore, very much captivated by royal opulence or anything like that. But in the case of Maharaj Parikshit, the situation was different. Apparently the king was condemned to death by an inexperienced Brahmana boy. But factually, he was called by the Lord to return to him. Other transcendentalists, the great sages and mystics who assembled together because of Maharaj Parikshit's fasting unto death, were quite anxious to see him, for he was going back to Godhead. Maharaj Parikshit also could understand that the great sages who assembled there were all kind to his forefathers, the Pandavas, because of their devotional service to the Lord. He therefore felt grateful to the sages for being present there at the last stage of his life, and he felt that it was all due to the greatness of his late forefathers or grandfathers. He felt proud, therefore, that he happened to be the descendant of such great devotees. Such pride for the devotees of the Lord is certainly not equal to the puffed-up sense of vanity for material prosperity. The first is reality, whereas the other is false and vain. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacadeshtarine Om Agyana Timirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Tapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishavangsha Shri Rupam Sagaratam Sahagana Raganatam Matam Tang Sajivam Shadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Matangsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavane Shri Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Pancha Kopatrubya Shah Kripa Sindhubya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gorvaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, fortune or misfortune is in the eye of the beholder. Most of us living in this community, we do leave once in a while. We drive down Venice Boulevard, and you get to the block between Sepulveda and Sawtelle. Under the overpass of the 405, we have a tent city, they call it. Persons who are so-called homeless, but they have been given, or somehow or other they have received tents that they're living in. But from the point of view of the six Goswamis, they're very fortunate. The six Goswamis were living under a different tree every other night. They didn't set up any tents anywhere. We don't see that in the Bhagavatam, that they had a tent. No tent. They had loincloth, a few personal possessions, and they were living under a different tree every other night. So these people are fortunate. They're living in tent under an overpass. That means they don't get wet when it rains. So, fortune or misfortune is in the eye of the beholder. Here, this verse starts out by saying, the fortunate king. Most people think, fortunate? Are you kidding me? He's been cursed to die in 7 days? That's the height of misfortune. Still a young person. He's not like 100-something years old and, you know, let him go, okay, all right, let him die. No. Still very young and vigorous. In other words, can still enjoy life. So, you see that as a misfortune. Oh, how unfortunate. Alas, I've been cursed to die in 7 days. Just like Maharaja Yati. He was cursed to die, or at least to give up his youth, and he was horror-struck. Not even to die. He was just cursed to give up his youth because of his... You know, it's a long story, but most of you know the story. But he saw that as the greatest misfortune. I have to give up my youth and become an old man instantly. How am I going to enjoy life? So, you know, the story, he went to his sons and asked them to give their youth, and they all refused except for one. So fortune or misfortune is in the eye of the beholder. Would we consider ourselves fortunate if we were in the position of Parikshit? Still in our relative youth. I mean, most of us are going on in years, but, you know, from the perspective of people from the prior age, this 60 years is nothing. 80, 100 years is nothing. Bhishma Dev was way, way older than that when he left his body. Previous ages, you know, they were living up to 1,000 years. So to be 60 is a youth. You're just starting out life. What to speak of the year, age before that, 10,000 years, and the age before that, 100,000 years. So again, fortune or misfortune is in the eye of the beholder. So Parikshit, he considers himself to be fortunate. Raj Obatsa, he's speaking. It's not that somebody is saying that he thought himself to be fortunate. No, Raj Obatsa, the fortunate king, is speaking. He considers himself fortunate because he has attained now the association of all these great sages. And he's saying that we know, the royal we, Prabhupada used to speak like that sometimes, we have come here. Somebody may think, what do you mean we? You're one person. But Prabhupada saw himself always in terms of his connection to the Sampradaya, his connection to Krishna. So he was never alone. It's not I and me. It's we. Because he was always with his spiritual master, always with Krishna. So the king is saying here, we know that you, great sages, you consider the kingly order to be like refuse, something to be rejected. So one may think, what kind of sage is that? The sage is supposed to have equal vision. Vidyamanaya sampane, brahmane kavihasani, sunichayava supakecha, pandita samadarshana. Those who are actually pundit, those who are actually great souls, they're supposed to see everybody equally. So why would they see the royal order as refuse to be left? And Prabhupada gives a list here of things that should be left far away. Stool, urine, wash water should be left far away, which is a shock to the modern way of living. You finally get enough millions of dollars to make your big house in Bel Air or Brentwood, and you have your master bathroom. Not just a regular bathroom. You have a master bathroom. And in that master bathroom, you still have a toilet sitting there. Now I noticed, though, since growing up, back in the 50s, 60s, they would have the toilet just in the open with everything else. But now, nowadays, the master bathrooms, they put the toilet actually in a little room with a door. So something, maybe they met enough Indians who were looking down their nose at them. Now they're a little bit progressed. But actually, in real Vedic culture, the bathroom, the place where you pass your obnoxious, should be far away from where you, the residential quarters, as Prabhupada says. So the lifestyle today, even for the rich and powerful, is not very clean, which is not surprising, because cleanliness has two parts. There's external cleanliness and there's internal cleanliness. If you are internally clean, meaning you're God conscious, then even if externally you seem to be unclean, you're actually clean. We chant that every time we have a payayagya. Om apavitra pavitra charvasa gatopya. Yaksmared pundari kaksha. If you remember the lotus-eyed Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, then no matter what your circumstances are, externally, you are clean. Internally and externally. Whereas those who make a show of cleanliness, they go to their master bathroom and take bath, for half an hour or whatever, and put on fancy clothes. Because they're not clean internally, they're considered to be unclean, unfit to be associated with. So this is the case for the ordinary worldly so-called kings. They dress pompously and have entourage and fancy vehicles, either palanquin or nowadays some Rolls Royce or something, bulletproof car. But it's not Maya-proof. You may have a bulletproof car, but it's not Maya-proof. Maya can touch you wherever you go. No matter how much money you have and how much education you have, if you're not Krishna conscious, then you're not Maya-proof. So, because they're not clean internally, they're not Maya-proof. The king, however, is Maya-proof. He's already advanced, already Krishna conscious, but now that he's gotten notice that it's time to go, everything is left. No attachment. He's given it all up in an instant. It's not so easy to do. It may seem when you're reading, oh yeah, I could do that, but it's not so easy to do. To just walk away from family. The same family members that you fought with your whole life, couldn't get along with. Like I know in my family, we are nice to each other because we live far away. One sister is in, one state. My other sister is here, but she lives an hour's drive away and parents are gone. And it's like that my whole life. My whole family's like that, not just the immediate family. Everybody's like that. Very pleasant on the phone, but you don't want to be in the same room too long. You stay in one state, I stay in another state, and we can say, hi, how are you, like that. The same family members that you couldn't get along with while you were alive, when it's time to die, they all flash through your mind and you think, oh, my cousin so-and-so and my father and my this and my that. Not so easy to give up material attachment. Neha patya kalacharishu. Atmasainishu asotsu api. These are the fallible soldiers that we cling to. The son, the wife, the business, the everything thinking it's mine. Janasya mahoyam ahangmameti. It's not your business. It's not your wife. It's not your son. They all belong to Krishna. They all belong to Krishna. All these sages are manifestations of Krishna's energy. And the king knows this. They've come in from all over the universe, which right away somebody, okay, you guys believe in mythology. Okay, forget it. What do you mean they came in from all over the universe? Not possible. How did they get here? How did they get here? According to modern science, light travels in 1 year 5.88 trillion miles, rounded off to 6 trillion miles. And the nearest star, Alpha Centauri, is 4.22 light years away, which just means it's about 25 trillion miles away, according to their calculation. So how is somebody going to travel 25 trillion miles? Prabhupada even mentions in one purport in the second canto that according to the calculation of the modern scientists, it would take 40,000 years to get to the topmost planet in the universe. How are they going to do that? But we know, we accept as a fact, that these sages come from... We accept Narada Muni goes outside the universe and comes back. Not just outside the universe, because when you go outside of our universe, you're still within the Mahatattva. The causal ocean is there, and all the different universes, innumerable universes are floating. And then there's a covering over that. And then beyond that is the spiritual world. So you can just imagine the distances involved. We know again from the Bhagavatam that the interior portion, the open space of the universe, is covered by seven layers, and each layer is 10 times thicker than the other. So by the time you get to the outside of one universe, the interior portion seems like insignificant. Narada Muni can go through all of that, and through the Mahatattva, into the spiritual world, have a conversation with Mahavishnu, or Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan, come back and tell you what happened, and just imagine the distances. They say mythology. Mythology. People believe in mythology. But there are some scientists, the ancient astronaut theorists, who believe that, in fact, the Earth has been visited many times by beings from other planets within the universe. And it continues to happen even up to today. Tritakarma Prabhu interacts with such ancient astronaut theorists on a regular basis. And he informs them about the Vedas of ancient India and what they have to say. And he's described, you can see if you look it up on YouTube, he's had many, many meetings with these people. And he describes about, for instance, Shalva's spaceship that could appear and disappear and rain down weapons. So perhaps these people, because the modern ancient astronaut theorists, they refer to cultures around the world who 5,000 years ago had depictions of people that look like spacemen and like that. So perhaps these people were experiencing not people from other planets necessarily, but people like Shalva from this planet who could fly around in spaceships. And we know even Ravana millions and millions of years ago had a spacecraft that could appear and disappear. But wherever it is, wherever they came from, actually, again, these modern theoreticians, because they just like to speculate. They don't like to hear the truth. But their own discoveries kind of force them into the truth. Like I said, Jhutakarma is always reminding them about Krishna and Shalva and these things that happened 5,000 years ago. They think, oh, it's just Hindu mythology. But then when they discover by their modern instruments a sunken city, Dwarka, off the coast of Gujarat, they think, wow, maybe this mythology was actually true. But then if they accept that Dwarka actually existed, then they have to accept that the Lord of Dwarka, Dwarkadish, actually existed. Then it forces them to, you know. But they don't surrender so easily. They see the knowledge as what they accepted or believe. I take something from here. Yeah, that sounds plausible. I take something from there. But we don't have that luxury. We accept the Vedic canon in toto. Whatever it's stated in the Vedas, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedas and its corollaries, the Itihasas, we accept. Therefore, we don't waste our time wondering, how did these great sages get from this planet to the... How did they find out? How did they know that he was going to leave his body, and how did they get here? We just accept. It's stated. This king was about to leave his body, he sat down to fast, and these sages and their disciples came from all over the universe and came and sat down. And it stated in today's purport, why did they come? They knew he was going back to Godhead and they wanted to be there. to see that happen. We're lucky if when we're going to die, one or two devotees show up to chant Hare Krishna. Don't expect that the great sages are going to come from Tapaloka, Maharloka, Brahmaloka. But even one person chanting Hare Krishna in your ear at the time of death, that's the greatest fortune. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. We have had experience right here in this community. So many devotees leaving their bodies. Jayananda Prabhu. so many others. Bidur. And so many others have left in this. Your father was still left here, right? Yeah. Mother Duisa. So many devotees have left right here in this community. So that we can hope for. We can hope that Krishna is so kind that we don't die in some car crash on the 405. That we actually are allowed to leave our body here in this community and have the association of the great souls who live here chanting in our ears at the end. But the point is we have to be internally ready. By being internally clean, how do we remain clean internally? By hearing the Shastra always, hearing and chanting Hare Krishna. Purifying our desires. We cannot eliminate desires. We cannot stop desiring. Desiring is part of the soul. The soul always is desiring constantly. Want this, want this, want that, want that, want that. But we can purify our desires. Instead of wanting for me, 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 me all the time. I was just reading one purport. Prabhupada said there was this great atheist, non-believer in India, guy. His idea, very rich, was that, forget this, religion and all that, open hospitals. That will benefit people. So Prabhupada said, 6 months after opening the hospital, he died. So he couldn't save himself with his own money. He's proud of opening hospitals to save people and cure people, but he couldn't cure himself. Couldn't save himself. So we're not so foolish. We take to the spiritual hospital. And Prabhupada said, all of these temples in ISKCON, they're spiritual hospitals. Places where people can come and be cured of the material disease. Avarog, birth, death, old age, disease. These things can be cured permanently by taking to the path of Krishna consciousness. So in other ages, the path is more difficult. But in this age, it's remained so easy. Just chant Hare Krishna. Just accept a prasadam lollipop. I just posted a picture of Srimadav Mahotsav. We were down on Venice Beach doing Harinam. And he was handing out prasadam lollipops. So there was one guy, I don't know if you remember him, he was holding an umbrella, sitting on a fence, and you reached up and gave him. So I got a picture of that. So just by accepting a prasadam lollipop, Prabhupada said, they're so dull in this age, it's no question of teaching them philosophy, mostly, practically. Just give them prasadam. He said, you're so dull, just come here and eat, and you'll go back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So this was Prabhupada's vision. We must have, just like yesterday, such nice prasadam. I was taking tickets for a few hours, and I would ask people as they were leaving, what did you think? Oh, everybody was just raving. The devotees were raving. The non-devotees, some that come regularly, some for the first time, they were all raving. Wonderful prasadam, wonderful. Love it. So that's how we attract people, by distributing tons and tons of wonderful prasadam to the public, and then gradually, they become pure enough to start inquiring seriously about philosophy. One morning walk here, I've mentioned several times, that it always stood out in my mind, where one devotee was saying, Prabhupada, when we preach and we tell them about the principle, Prabhupada slammed his cane, he stopped, and he said, well, why are you surprised? You're preaching to cats and dogs. Make them fortunate, give them prasadam, give them this chanting. So this is the preaching. And of course, if you can get them immediately to take a book, that's wonderful. Their money is employed in Krishna service and the book will be there. One day they will open it. So many stories you all know of books that have sat on shelves for decades. And then somebody in the family takes it down, reads it, and OMG, oh my Govinda. They take to Krishna consciousness. So let us just continue to follow Srila Prabhupada's lead. Distribute his books. Distribute the chanting of the holy name. Distribute prasadam. And save Los Angeles. Okay, we'll stop here. Any questions, comments? Okay, Granthi Rashi Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.